Well, let's open in our Bibles now to the book of James, actually, this afternoon. James chapter 2. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the final verses of James chapter 1, and I said at that time that I think it was 3 years ago that I had preached a couple sermons from the book of James, and with Pastor Holdeman being gone occasionally, I decided to take up that series in his absence, and I guess today even in his presence. But we'll continue actually with James next Sunday evening, Lord willing. But today we're going to look at James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. James was written by the brother of Jesus, that James, around the mid-40s A.D., so before Paul wrote his letters, not long after Christ's resurrection. And he's writing, as he says in chapter 1, verse 1, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So these were Jewish Christians who were persecuted at the time that Stephen was stoned, and they're off, and they're going off living in other places. And he's writing to them as God's people, that they would live as God's people, that they would that the gospel brings about a transformation in the lives of God's people that is seen in how they live in a new life of obedience, that they're to live faithfully for the Lord, even in the midst of this troublous situation of being persecuted. So today, then, we'll look at chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, and let's give our attention now to God's most holy word. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We'll end the reading of God's word there, verse 13. And may the Lord bless his word to each of us as we look at it briefly this afternoon. Well, as I've already kind of mentioned this morning, at Vacation Bible School this week, the Lord has answered our prayers. And we are so thankful for that. We trust that He has answered all of our prayers, but we know for sure that He has answered at least one of our prayers in particular, because in attendance this week, we had many kids from within the congregation and many kids from without the congregation, from outside the congregation, which is something we've been praying for many times leading up to this. And it was interesting because among the kids that we had from outside of the congregation, we had a very good mixture. We had those coming from other churches in town, and we had those coming who don't really ever go to church. We had a mixture of those coming from solid family situations, but then we also had others coming from not so solid family situations. We even had a mixture of those coming from well-to-do homes, and we even had those who were quite poor. All here with us this week. And so it was really the perfect opportunity. I guess I should have preached this last week, but it was really the perfect opportunity for us to put into practice what James is teaching us here in these first 13 verses of chapter 2. Because as he says here, he's addressing the subject of partiality. Of partiality. That is, he's teaching us that we should not favor some people over others or treat people differently than others because of these types of things, like church background, family life, socioeconomic status, and so forth. Instead, he says, instead of being partial, we're to be loving and we're to be merciful. And we're to be loving and we're to be merciful, because his main point here is because that's how God's children are to live their lives. Again, this is his main point. We are God's children in Christ, therefore live out that reality in our lives. But also because this is how God treats us in Jesus Christ. He has loved us without partiality or discrimination, and he's been merciful to us as well. And I'm not preaching this today because I think we did a pathetic job this last week. That's not it. I think we did a good job by God's grace. But as with all things, there's always much room for us to grow. And so as we look at these verses together today, let us see as our main point that partiality is not becoming of a child of God. It is not becoming of a child of God. And therefore, we need to live out our faith by loving and showing mercy to all people without discrimination, just as God has loved us and shown mercy to us without discrimination in Jesus Christ. And so as we look at these verses today, that's the main point I hope we'll come away with. Well, let's consider then first this afternoon that we need to look out for this sin of partiality in our lives. And so James begins here in verse 1, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." And so he's taking up this issue of being partial. And in order for us to understand what he's talking about, let's first consider what does it mean to be partial. And so we'll begin with the definition. To be partial is to treat certain people differently, whether in a good way or a bad way, because of things like outward appearance, worldly status, or personality traits. So it's to treat people differently, whether in a good way or a bad way, because of things like outward appearance, worldly status, and personality traits. In other words, to be partial is to be prejudiced towards particular people for biblically unjustifiable reasons. Right? That's what we're talking about. So that doesn't mean you're being partial if you're making biblically informed judgments about other people. It also doesn't mean you're being partial if you're not best friends with every person you've ever come across. Right? It's normal and natural for us to be closer to some than others. But literally, as we see in the Greek, to be partial is to receive the face. Now, that is, as one author puts it, to be partial is to judge a book by its cover, or a person by its cover, rather than by its substance. And that's what we're talking about here today. And James then goes on in verses 2 to 4 to give us an example of what he's talking about. So we read, he says, "For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" And so he speaks of two men who enter the assembly. The assembly would have been the small worship gatherings that were starting to crop up at the time as they were all scattered throughout the area. And he says one of these men who came to the assembly was rich. He came in wearing gold rings on his fingers, which was a status symbol for being a part of the Roman upper class. And he had nice clothes on. But then there was also another man who was poor, James says. He had no money, and so he wore filthy clothes. Now, one commentator says this man had a vile appearance and likely broadcasted an equally vile odor. Right? These are the types of the two people who came in. And James says, when these two men walked into the worship service, they were each treated differently by the people of the church. So the rich man was given the best seat in the house. Verse 3, "Sit here in a good place." The poor man wasn't even given a seat. He was told, "Stand in the back," or "Stand over here," or "Here, have a seat on the floor." And as James goes on to say in verse 4, treating people this way is to show partiality. It's to favor one person over another simply because of things like worldly status and outward appearance. And what we need to realize is that the reason James takes up this issue at the beginning of chapter 2 is because his readers, this was a sin that was prevalent in their lives at the time. In fact, this was most likely a true example that he was taking from one of their assemblies that they all would have been familiar with. They were being partial towards other people, in particular towards the rich. James says later in verses 6 and 7 that it was the rich who were oppressing them. It was the rich who were taking them to court. And it was the rich who were blaspheming the name of Christ. Remember, they're being persecuted for their faith, James's readers. And so it seems that they were trying to alleviate their suffering at the hands of the rich by being partial to the rich as they would come, by favoring them and treating them differently. And brothers and sisters, we have to realize also that the reason this is in our Bibles today is because we can be just as partial. One of the commentators I read this week told of a time when he was up front, like I am, leading a worship service. And as he was looking out, he noticed in the middle of a service that a man walked in the back door and sat down right in front of his wife and kids. Kind of like Pastor Holdeman sat down. A little bit different. And he said he was distracted the entire service because he couldn't keep his eyes off the guy who had just sat down next to his family. And he said it was all because when the guy walked in, we all could see he was wearing shabby clothes, he smelled like cigarettes, and he smelled like booze. And in fact, he said, if the guy would have walked in with a suit and tie on, if he would have looked like Pastor Holdeman, he wouldn't have thought twice about it. Right? But it's because of what he was wearing, what he smelled like, what he looked like, that all of a sudden he had all of these associations in his mind and was being partial. And let's be honest, we can have these same kinds of thoughts ourselves, can't we? We've had our share of unkempt, unclean visitors come into a worship service. Have you ever ignored them? Have you ever wished they didn't come to the worship service? We too can fall into this trap of favoring the rich, favoring the good-looking, favoring the well-to-do and the well-dressed over the poor and the needy. But there are other ways that we can be partial. We can fall into the trap of favoring the well-educated over those who never went to college, for example. Or the opposite, favoring those who never went to college over those who did go to college. We can treat people differently because of how they look, because of their particular age, and because of their interests that they have, or perhaps because of where they live. We can even give more attention and care to some of our kids than the others because of things like behavior or personality. And so James is saying we too can be partial in these ways, making judgments about people simply because of outward appearance, status, and so forth. And it can happen in the church, as James particularly addresses here. It can happen in the community, in our neighborhoods. It can happen in the workplace. It can happen even in our own homes and even in our own families. And so James begins here by saying, be on the lookout for this. Be on the lookout for partiality in your lives. And he goes on to say, because, and this is our second point, because being partial is not becoming of a child of God. It's not becoming of a child of God. Again, he says in verse 1, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. In other words, to quote the NIV, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism towards others. Right? This is not how believers are to live their lives. This is not how we are to hold our faith in Jesus Christ. Because, as he says in verse 1, it is Christ who is the Lord of glory. He is the one who is exalted. So if anyone's to be treated differently, it's Christ, not the rich. In other words, James says partiality should not exist in our lives because it's entirely inconsistent with the Christian faith. And he then goes on to give two reasons why this is the case. First, he says it's because partiality is contrary to God's character. It's contrary to God's character. Look now at verses 5 to 7. He says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? He says, don't favor the rich because God saves the poor. And we have to be careful in how we understand that, because he's not saying that being materially poor means you're automatically saved. Nor is he saying that being materially rich makes you inherently wicked. If you look again at verse 5, those who are the heirs of the kingdom are those who love the Lord, rich or poor. That's the determining factor. He's also not saying that we should be partial to the poor over and against the rich. Now, the only reason he's speaking so harshly about the rich here is because of his readers' original current situation. And so what James means by this is that when God saves people, he doesn't favor the rich like you readers are, and so neither should you. That's what James is saying here. God saves even the poor of this world. Put it another way, when God chose who he would save, he's not partial. He's not partial in the people he saves. And we see this throughout the Bible, don't we? Think of Jesus' earthly ministry, for example. He always judged people not by what was on the outside, but by what was on the inside. He judged people by their true spiritual condition. He didn't look at their appearance. He didn't look at their status. He looked at their hearts. And so when he interacted with the rich, he didn't treat them any differently than when he interacted with the poor. And when he interacted with the poor, he didn't treat them any differently than when he interacted with the rich. And that's because, as Anthony Salvaggio puts it, God's perfect and holy character simply will not allow him to favor someone based on illegitimate grounds. Based on illegitimate grounds. And you see, by extension, this is James's point, his children should never do that either. This is why it's not becoming of a child of God. It's contrary to God's character, and as his children, our lives are to reflect God's character. And then second, he says, partiality is not becoming of a child of God because it's contrary to God's commands. So his character and then his commands. Verse 9. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. As James says back in verse 4, partiality comes from evil thoughts. And so as he says here, it causes you to be a transgressor of God's law, and not just a part of God's law, but actually the entirety of God's law. Verse 10, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. You see, it seems that James's readers didn't really think of partiality as being that big of a deal. They thought of it as being, if it's a sin, it's a minor sin. And again, to be honest, I think we can think that way about it ourselves even today. But James wants them to know, now actually, partiality is a much bigger deal than you realize. Because if you're partial, you're transgressing God's law. And when you're transgressing God's law, and even one point, even if you think it's no big deal and it's a very, very minor sin, you're actually transgressing the entire law. And so what he's saying here is partiality is no minor offense. It's actually a serious infraction that makes you worthy of hell. And this seems to be why then he goes on to say in verse 11, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. Now, most likely, his readers were priding themselves on their sexual purity because they thought of adultery as being a serious offense. And so they were not breaking the seventh commandment. But as James says here, partiality is actually a form of murder. It's a violation of the sixth commandment. As Jesus, James's brother, said in the Sermon on the Mount, any hatred or lack of love toward another person is murder in the heart. And when you commit murder, even if you haven't committed adultery, you've broken the whole law of God. And so it's no good to pride yourselves on your purity when you're being partial to the rich, because despite your purity, you're still a transgressor. You're still guilty of breaking the law and all of it. And again, that's why partiality should not be in our lives today. Because it's not just contrary to God's character, it's contrary to God's commands. And as God's people, we are to keep His commands. Paul says in Philippians 1:27, our conduct as God's people is to be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Some of you I know have read Jerry Bridges' book, Respectable Sins, and we've preached about it in the past. We've even had fireside on it. He says in that book, and this has stuck with me, he says there was a time when he was in the Navy, which he's already gone to heaven, so this is like 50 years ago, but he said there was a time when he was in the Navy where there was a phrase that would often be thrown around called conduct unbecoming an officer. And so if an officer in the Navy committed a little petty offense or even a serious crime, this is what would be said about it. That is conduct unbecoming of an officer. Because by committing the offense, no matter what it was, the officer had failed to live as an officer should. And in a similar way, that's what James is calling us to here. As believers in Christ, our lives should be becoming of a child of God. Right? We are to live as a Christian should live. And as James teaches us here, partiality does not match with the Christian life. It's contrary to God's character. It's contrary to God's commands. And so he wants us to know, partiality is not to be in our actions, in our thoughts. We are not to have favorites. We are not to be prejudiced. We are not to treat people differently for biblically unjustifiable reasons. But thankfully, that's not where he ends. He doesn't just tell us what to stop doing. He then also concludes by telling us what we should do instead. And so as we see thirdly and finally on the outline, instead of being partial, we are to live out our faith by loving and showing mercy to all people. And so in verse 8, if you'll go back and look there, we read, "If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well." And James is referring here back to Leviticus 19, verses 15 to 18, which I've given you on your outline. And we read there, "You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And by referring to this passage, James is teaching the people what they are to do instead of being partial. And it's interesting, he's going back to the law of Moses. And remember, he's writing to Jewish Christians. And so they would have been familiar with this. And as the Lord had said in the law of Moses, partiality should not be in your lives, but loving your neighbor as yourself should be. In other words, God has not made you to favor some people over others. And God has not saved you to favor some people over others. After all, this is the royal law, as James puts it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And again, like he does throughout the book of James, he's referring back to the teaching of his brother. And what he's saying is, how did King Jesus say, how did he summarize the law for his disciples to keep? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This is what Commandments 5 to 10 are all about. And so as those who have been saved by God's mercy to keep God's law, which is what the letter is all about, we are to cast off partiality and seek to love others instead. Rather than loving some more than others, we're to love everyone. As the First Catechism puts it, "Who is your neighbor? Everybody is my neighbor." And then with that, as James concludes, we are to show mercy to others as well. Verses 12 to 13, we read, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." And so here he concludes by saying, as God's people, you need to live in light, in expectation rather, of the judgment of God. You need to live knowing that one day you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where you will have to give an account of every thought, word, and deed you've ever had. And that account will be based on the standard of the law of God. And so he says, in light of that judgment, you need to be merciful towards others, especially towards the poor and the needy, because judgment will be without mercy to those who have not shown mercy. In other words, what James is saying here, and we have to think carefully about it, is that if you want to receive mercy on judgment day, then you need to make sure that there's mercy being shown by you in the meantime. Now, of course, he's not saying that being merciful merits heaven for anyone. That's not his point. Rather, he's saying we should be merciful because mercy is the fruit that exists in the lives of those people who have received God's mercy. And again, he's referring back to the teaching of his brother Jesus, in particular the parable of the sheep and the goats. And we're not going to read this, but if you remember this parable, right? The sheep go to heaven, the goats are sentenced to hell. And on what basis does Jesus make that judgment? Right? The sheep gave food and drink to the poor and needy. The sheep had taken in the stranger and clothed the naked, whereas the goats had done none of these things. And Jesus gives us that parable not to teach us that we will be saved by showing mercy to other people, but he's giving us the parable to teach us that judgment will be based on the evidence. That is, the identity of the true people of God will be proven by the mercy they have shown to others. And the identity of the false people of God will also be proven by the absence of mercy to others. And of course, the implication throughout the entire parable is that if you profess to be a disciple of Christ, then let it be proven in how you live your life. In particular, be merciful towards others. And that's what James is saying here. If you're expecting mercy on Judgment Day, which it should be, if you're a believer in Christ, then make sure the evidence is there to prove your case on Judgment Day. Make sure you're being merciful to others. As he concludes, mercy triumphs over judgment. That is, being the evidence of true salvation. It's the merciful who will escape the wrath of God. And this is why Jesus says in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." In other words, James is calling us here to live out the reality of our faith, to prove that we're saved by showing love and mercy to others. Because that's how God's people live. That's how those who have received mercy interact with others. And so as we think about how we interact with other people, are we favoring the rich? Are we favoring the well-dressed? Or are we loving and reaching out to the poor and needy? Are we avoiding those in the church who are different than us or who don't look as good as we would like for them to? Or are we building relationships with them? Are we thinking differently of those who are not as smart as we are or don't have the same interests as we are, as we do? Or are we receiving them? Instead of showing affection to one or some of our kids, are we loving them all the same? James is wanting us to confront this in our lives, that we not have favorites, that we not be prejudiced, but rather we do the opposite. That we love without discrimination. We show mercy without discrimination. Because that is what God has done to us in Jesus Christ. You see, if you're a believer, you are the poor man who walked into the assembly wearing the shabby clothes, who stunk. Right? That's all of us. And yet the Lord didn't say, "Well, why don't you go take a stand in the back? Here, why don't you sit here at my feet?" No, the Lord didn't say that to any of us, did he? I said, "Here, let me give you the best seat in the house. And while you're sitting there, let me give you the best gift I could ever give you. My own Son, Jesus Christ." And brothers and sisters, what we need to realize is that it's because we've been given that love and mercy from God without partiality that His mercy will triumph over the judgment we all deserve for all the times we've been partial. And that's how we can be forgiven. Right? But it's also because He's given us His Son through love and mercy that we now can and should live out our faith and show love and mercy to others. Even to all people, just as He has showed His love and mercy to us. And so again, this past week, we interacted with many people at VBS. We had the churched and the unchurched, the rich, the poor, the well-dressed, the unkempt, the behaved and the misbehaved. And friends, as you go into this week, you're going to interact with all the same kinds of people. Even as you leave this service, you're going to interact with all the same kinds of people. And so as we've seen this afternoon, don't forget that as a child of God, you're to live out the faith that God has given you. And partiality cannot coexist with that. And so instead of being partial and favoring others, let us, in light of the love and mercy God has shown to us, extend that same love and that same mercy to all people, whether they're like us, whether they're poor, whether they're rich, whether they're filthy, because that's what God has so graciously done to us in Jesus Christ. So let's pray and let's ask for His help to do that. Our Lord and our God, we do pray for Your forgiveness. We often can be a partial people, even in our own church family, even in our own families, and as we interact with other people. And so we pray that You'd cleanse us of that sin. We ask, Lord, that You'd help us to be sensitive to when we may commit that sin, even this week, that we would repent of it and seek Your forgiveness. We ask, Lord, that You would grow us in showing love and mercy to all people, not caring what others in the world would think of us for doing that, but being willing to identify with the poor and the needy and people who are not popular and people who are not like us in any way. And so give us the grace to do that because, Lord, You've shown that same love and mercy to us. And again, we are far, far, far from deserving that. So may that impact our lives and imprint this truth upon our hearts even now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.